While sitting with the Ghairaz Jamaat friends, our Muslim brothers, they trying to put few questions regards the basic things that if Allah loves His prophets, and He has also, up to the time of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, why He put them and their nation into suffering longer time than they have achieved the governing time.
I know what you mean. Is that all?
A second part of the question is, sir, that if, and we are ready to take the nations according to Ilham of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, you will gain a big country first of all after some time. If we are going to have that,
which is that ilham?
It is that tumhe mulk azim ata kiya jayega.
Exactly. And what do you mean by mulk?
Mulk is not a country, but might be, in my feelings, is the whole nation, whole Islamic nation, whole faith.
Mulk azim.
Mulk azim.
Mujhko kya mulkon se, mera mulk hai sabse juda.
Sabse juda. Exactly.
That could be the meaning of that mulk.
That is, I understand, sir.
Yes, yes, please.
But even that, for that purpose as well, which is you taking as a purely holy, are we preparing ourselves or our Jamaat for that? And if we are, the work, the time wants us to submit them our constitution.
But the,
our planning, sir.
Yes, I know. Please. No.
Sorry.
Sorry. Just a moment. Without the answer to this question, how can I attend your question? Please wait for a while. The first question is about the suffering of prophets in the path of Allah. And this is a general question raised by so many people, but it has also an innovation that the suffering period of the prophets, according to the questioner, is always much longer than the period of relief and victory. So why suffering is so long and the period of relief and victory is so short, particularly regarding the prophets? This is the whole question now. Now, as far as the suffering in the path of Allah is concerned, it has to be seen in the context of human reformation. No people on earth can be deformed without being called to perseverance, sacrifices, toil and sweat. Without this, no people can be revived and no people can be cured of the moral evils from which they suffer. If you call for a life of ease and plenty, and this is the message of a messenger, then all the worst type of people will rush forward with this to this messenger. Those who are more materialistic would say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, much louder and with such enthusiasm. They say, we are ready. We are going to follow you. Lead us to plenty, lead us to gold, lead us to the amenities of life and so on and so forth. Is that what religion came for? No. So, the religious message is bitter. It invites to a life of suffering and self-sacrifice. Now, this is in general the way how people are purified and transformed, how they are made to turn away from the materialism to spiritualism. Sacrifice at every step is being taught and instilled into them. Now conceive a prophet which leads a life of ease and comfort because he is loved by God. He has all the best things to himself and yet is inviting all the people to suffering and to sacrifice and everything. How could the message of such a prophet be accepted? So it is he who has to first present the very model of suffering for a nobler cause. And that establishes the truth of that prophet. This is the greatest favor he can show to his people, that he demonstrates to them, look here, I am calling to you to a life of suffering because I suffer most. And I have chosen this path, not in vain. I am the wisest man among you. Yet if there were no God, if there was no reward after death and so on, why should I give away all that I have for the sake of nothing? So that shows my firm faith in the life to come. That shows my firm belief that this life is only transient and passing, is not substantial. So only then people can understand and believe in such a prophet. As far as the period of his comfort is concerned, his comfort in reality lies in the life to come, for which he sacrificed all his the best things of his own life here. So if that be true, then the period of success should be shorter in comparison to the period of suffering, because that is only an interim period between labor and reward. That is not a reward in itself. It is only to further strengthen the faith of the people and to show to them that all that was promised to this man, this humble person, was promised by a greater and more powerful being, which could bring about victory, despite the fact that all the factors were against this victory. So this humble man who suffered so much at your hands is now made the king and sovereign and victorious, or whatever it is he's made. That establishes the fact, and then he has no longer anything to do here. He's delivered the message, he's demonstrated the message, and from then on he's awaiting his return. This is what was demonstrated in the end by Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when in the last moments of his life he was offered, according to him himself, both the possibilities, to live longer here or to return. His answer was, "Fir rafiqil ala, fir rafiqil ala." And while he was uttering these words, he passed away. He gave up his soul to his sublime companion, to his higher companion, that is God. So he said, I don't want any longer to tarry here. I have no interest in this earth. Call me back to yourself. You are my love. You are my friend. You are everything to me. So that is what they yearn for. That is what they have offered sacrifices for. Why should that period of waiting be made longer for them? That is a punishment, not a reward for them. Because they live in a life of reality in religion, not only in a myth. So in their terms, you should understand their life history, not in the terms of a materialist.